Hey everybody, welcome back to Milkshakes Markets Madness. This is our start of the week, Monday peak at the week, where we look at some of the things that's on the economic calendar and talk about perhaps where our main focus is going to be. If you're new to the show, you can get the best approach to our content and the various segments that we do on YouTube using the handle Milkshakes Pod. We have a playlist that says start here at the top that will get you more indoctrinated in what the dollar milkshake theory is trying to say. And then a number of segments and playlists, all with unique thumbnails. So it's very easy for you to pick and choose the type of conversations that you find most interesting or valuable. Again, this one, we're going to look at the week ahead. And Brent, we do have some interesting housing data on deck. Everyone is kind of waiting for the housing market or expecting the housing market to have some sort of significant correction. We've got, 7% mortgage rates, the Fed deciding to pause, which we talked about extensively in our full length episode. But with the supply issue in housing, there doesn't seem to be a correction anytime soon on the horizon without some significant economic pain showing up in other segments like the employment segment. Now, along with the Fed's rate decision we just had, we do have some of the most important information that the Fed would normally be considering before making that decision. At the end of this week, we have the PCE number, personal consumption expenditures, which is kind of a income and spending data set that looks at consumer behavior. That comes in on Friday. Now on Thursday, we also have consumer spending and the final GDP number for Q2. Now, what's interesting about all of that is you would think it would be much more helpful for the Fed to have that information prior, just 72 hours or a week earlier before making a rate decision. We've kind of joked before that the Fed is very well aware in advance of some of this data before they're making their decision. So do you think that there is going to be, and you've also said a lot about how markets operate on expectations. So do you think expectations for some of these data points are in line? Do you think they're going to be surprised now that the Fed has already made a decision to pause? And in addition to that, we have a Fed chair town hall speech on Thursday as well. So I've kind of queued up a lot of things for you to tackle, but the main theme there is, how do you think some of this data is going to fall into the Fed's decision? And do you think Powell is going to have something different to say at the town hall speech?
Well, so there is a lot of data this week, and I think the Fed would probably prefer to have their meeting after all this stuff comes out, but it is what it is. And I think all of this, other than the PCE at the end of the week, I think that's probably the most important piece of data. That and Powell speaking, and listening to what he says, I think those are probably the two most important events of the week. But I think all the other stuff on their own would not be something that I would necessarily key in on. But where it gets interesting now is because the Fed has paused, but didn't just pause. It wasn't a dovish pause. It was a very hawkish pause. In fact, it couldn't have been a much more hawkish pause without actually being a hike. And so where it gets interesting now is if all of these indicators start to paint a similar story. In other words, if all of these indicators come in positively or that shows that the economy is still strong, well, then that, gives further fuel to the fact that, hey, not only are they going to hike one more time, maybe they hike two more times, or maybe that first rate cut doesn't even come until 2025 rather than 2024. Those are the type, again, this is just pure speculation, but those are the types of things that could start running into traders and market participants' minds. The opposite is that maybe this is why they paused. Maybe they do have some advanced look at some of this information, or maybe some of their own forecasters have said, some of this stuff is starting to slow down. You have to kind of look at the big picture. And the reality is, over the last year, the data has kind of gone the Fed's way. It hasn't gotten to where they want it to be, but it has gone their way. And so perhaps they believe the market or the economy is slowing, and maybe that is why they paused. Maybe they paused because they're expecting some weakness, but maybe not dramatic weakness. Again, just because something misses by 1/10 of 1 point doesn't necessarily mean that's a new established trend and that's the end of the world. A lot of this stuff is like reading tea leaves, and that's probably not the greatest way to go through the world, is reading tea leaves. But I think it's interesting because they did such a hawkish pause that I think this data becomes more interesting to people because they're trying to figure out what did he really mean. And I think people really want him to be more dovish, right? I think many, many were surprised at how much he raised rates to begin with. I don't think many people thought he would be able to get away with doing it. I don't think there was many people who thought that if he did do what he did, the markets would be where they're at. And I think there's even fewer people that believe that he can keep it here, right? And so I think everybody's just waiting for Powell and the Fed to be wrong. And listen, I completely understand it. I think they will ultimately be wrong too. But, you know, the reality is so far, they haven't been. And so I think that's why when we get into these data-heavy weeks, you know, the story that they start to paint becomes important. And then the fact that you have Powell speaking at the end of the week and everybody's going to parse every word he says to figure out what he really meant last week, right? And so I think we've talked about how, you know, this hawkish pause has the potential to be, you know, something where we're in the fall now. Data has been pretty good all year. If things start to come in less, so here's the point. If the data comes in over the next 3 or 4 days, you know, the early part of the week, not great, the markets may perceive that to be, okay, well, now maybe he's not going to hike. Well, if he then comes out subsequent to bad data and reiterates there is still a hike ahead of us and the cuts aren't coming as quickly as previously expected, then people start to think, well, wait a minute, maybe bad news is bad news. Maybe bad news isn't good news. Maybe Powell really will allow more economic pain to, you know, emerge before he pivots. And so I think, you know, you get into this whole, you know, we've talked about this several times over the last couple of months is, you know, are you playing the data or are you playing Powell's legacy? And there's probably a little bit of truth to both of them, but that's why I think this week is kind of interesting.
Well, just yesterday in our full-length episode, we really got deep into that idea of the bad news could potentially now be bad news, where for so long bad news was good news because market participants wanted to front-run the potential Federal Reserve response that led to easing and asset prices going up. So one thing I'll ask you to maybe give your thoughts on or provide a prediction for, which is also something we kind of joked about in yesterday's episode. But, you know, we had a sell-off post the Fed rate decision, probably more so because of the hawkishness and what they justified the pause with. Now, leading after something like that, it feels like the maybe heavier market moving data, particularly with the Fed in mind, is towards the latter part of the week with PCE and Fed's or Jerome Powell's speech. What do you think, and maybe this is a potential Twitter poll for you, but what do you think markets do in this type of environment post the week that we just had going into a new week? Do they sit on their hands and wait for a little bit more guidance? Is the sell-off done? Was it just a little bit of repositioning? Or do you think some of that bearish momentum continues into the first part of the week?
I mean, my guess is that we're going to have some more downside in the early part of the week. Just a guess. I don't know for sure, but based on the way markets sold off on Thursday after the Wednesday Fed meeting, the way they tried to rally Friday morning and then sold off into the close, to me, that indicates that we're probably going to have a little bit of volatility in the early part of the week. And where we go from there, you know, I don't know. Again, I have been pretty consistent all year in saying that I think that we need to have a correction in risk assets before we have a sustainable move higher. I stand by that, and so that is where I lean. But you know, I'm like everybody else. My predictions. I don't mind making predictions because I don't mind being wrong. I'm not reallocating my portfolio every 10 seconds based on, you know, a new data point that comes out. I just think that, you know, markets have gotten way ahead of themselves with regard to the Fed pivot, and I think some of that. Some of those animal spirits need to be taken out of the market before the actual pivot comes. So I'm not expecting Powell to come out on Thursday and dramatically differ from what he said last Wednesday. I would expect him to come out and say the same thing. And the reality is, Powell's been pretty consistent. You know, I've said several times that he was probably the most clearly spoken central banker that I can remember. Over the last year, as we've moved towards the end of the hiking cycle, I think he's become a little bit more wishy-washy than he was at the beginning. But he still continues to say the same thing. You know, we're focused on inflation. Our job is not done. You know, our job is to keep this inflation under control, and we know that people are suffering as a result of it. And he has said several times that the pain of not addressing inflation now would be worse than the pain of some market volatility now. And until he switches, I take him at his word. And I know there's people out there saying, oh, hey, well, of course he will pivot. Of course they're going to have to print money at some point. And yes, of course, at some point they're going to have to. Again, I say this all the time. That is literally why central bankers exist in the first place. But it doesn't mean he has to do it right away. And it's taken him a lot longer to get there than many people have expected already. And it wouldn't surprise me if it takes a little bit longer from here as well.
Look, you have said for quite some time that your overall take on things is that markets have gotten ahead of themselves. Over the weekend, when we did the full-length episode, you did point out that there were really just two particular months in the year so far that have been the big reason for any kind of present day upside. But, you know, in support of your view on that, and to kind of put your money where your mouth is, you did take some defensive positions. You had some put options on. Has there been, how are you feeling about those? Have they performed well? I mean, again, you're not putting those on to try to, you know, become a billionaire. It was part of an insurance defense policy. How have those performed so far?
Well, so here's the thing about it is that I put, if you remember back at the middle of June, I said that based on the amount of puts that I had, so until then, I had some puts or hedges, however you want to call them, that basically hedged our exposure, but that we were still basically net long and participating in an upside. But as of June 15th, I think it was, whenever that episode was, we had enough puts that we could probably be considered net short. In other words, we would be better off if markets went down than if they went higher. And that went against us for the next month into next 6 weeks, kind of into the end of July. In the late July, kind of early August, we kind of added to those when markets were maybe 2% higher from where we put those on. So initially the theta, the decay of those puts went against us. We added to those in early August, and that has helped. So I still believe that was the right move to do. Markets are now, I think, 2 or 3% below where we were in the middle of June. And that's why I say, you know, with the exception of January and May, markets have really gone sideways. You know, markets went up in January. They went sideways from February to April. They went up significantly in May into June. And now they've gone sideways and to down a little bit since the middle of June. So with the exception of January and May, you know, markets have not done a whole lot this year. And so the hedges and the put options that we've had in place went against us initially, but they've helped us here recently, especially over the last couple of weeks. Actually, they helped us in August, and they helped us again here in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I appreciate that update. Hopefully this peak of the week gave everyone something to think about as we head into a number of interesting data points and a town hall speech from Jerome Powell towards the end of the week on Thursday. Let us know what you think about some of these data points, where you're going to be focused, and what you think the potential outcomes would be. And I'm sure Brent will be doing plenty of the same on Twitter, where you can find him using the handle SantiagoAUFund. You can find me at John Kutzmita. The Milkshakes Markets Madness Show on both YouTube, Twitter, and everywhere else is using the handle MilkshakesPod. And you can also find more information at milkshakespod.com. We appreciate you joining us. Have a great week. We wish everybody well, and we'll see you in another day, and another day after that, and another day after that, with video after video after video. We enjoy having you join us for each one of those segments, and we'll keep rolling them out. So thank you to everybody. We'll see you very soon. I'd rather be with an animal. This show is provided for entertainment and informational purposes only. It should not be relied upon as legal, business, investment, or tax advice. Neither the hosts, guests, nor any funds they may manage intends to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies.